Beautiful.
It's 5 o'clock. It's
five. All right, so we're recording. Cool.
Cool, 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 cool.
All right, we are gonna go live. Wah!
Live, yay! I love this. This is awesome.
Is it?
Get off this. Get on with it. All right, I have an interesting topic I've found.
What is that?
People in Spain are walking pets so they can get outside because they have a severe lockdown. Nobody's allowed to leave. They don't even have a curfew. It's like only for necessities.
Oh.
So they're like walking, guys walking with a fishbowl. It's my pet.
Like a fish in a fishbowl. That's yeah, awesome. Like,
that's kind of good. It's kind of cool. I don't know. It's something kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. That's cool.
Yeah, kind of keep it light.
Hell yeah.
Toy dog on a leash.
Funny.
It's not really walking a pet.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But, well, you know how the Spanish are.
Hey.
Oh.
So do you guys have like your Facebook open?
No.
I can.
I can't.
I think mine's open. Yeah, I'm on.
Just because people are going to be commenting.
Oh, yeah, no shit. Jody, Babs.
Awesome. Okay.
Babs.
So, Caitlin, you want to take this plane off? You want to?
Yeah, that's, yeah. But,
what do you wanna,
not land this plane, but.
I need to turn this down.
Lift this plane off.
Sure. Are we ready?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay.
All right, we're ready. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Sorry, I'm turning my phone down. There's like a 30-second lag. It's pretty cool because it shows all of us.
Hey, look at that.
That's what we're seeing.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Sorry.
All right, so welcome to Murder Hour, where everyone is a suspect. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Camille.
I'm Al.
I'm Dustin.
And this is Murder Hour, another Zoom episode. And I think we are also live on Facebook.
Facebook Live. Thanks to Dustin. Kicking butt with the technology stuff.
Definitely.
Even though we can't see him behind his microphone.
That's yep.
The whole point.
It's okay because he's at the office of Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
Is the, awesome. Is the news crew is interviewing you?
That's right. Great.
Cool. So I guess we're going right into our killing time segment. I forgot who was going first this time.
I'll go first. What the heck?
Okay, because since Al joined us. All right, so.
Sorry.
That's all right. Way to go, Al. Yeah, screwing everything up. Yeah. Had to work today.
Right.
So I did
unessential.
Some I did some research, and currently there's approximately 8 to 9 serial killers still operating in worldwide. There's a few in the United States. There's one in Brazil. Like there's, let's see, the smiley face killer. That's one. And Long Island serial killer. Caitlin, you did that as an episode, Lookin' Liskin.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you guys want to catch that, that's Al's prostitute dump site episode.
Yep.
Dead whore storage. Yes.
Dead whore storage. Yes. That's
doing that again.
The Jeffries 8. There's the West Mesa bone collector. Caitlin, you said you knew about this. What's going on there?
I vaguely heard about it. I haven't done much research.
Just when I said it, you're like, oh my God, it's so good. I love that one.
The name's pretty cool.
Okay. worldwide there's about that we've know of, you know, that we can identify about 9 serial killers still at large. Yeah. So that's my killing time.
I think that's a good ratio, actually. I mean,
yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what we know of. So I guess I'll go next with the killing time. So we spotted a news article today that Kim Jong-un might be deceased as of a couple hours ago. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not yet.
The great leader? Isn't that what they call him? Great leader?
something like that. And I guess his sister would be next in line to take over. So that'd be interesting, have a woman in charge.
Female? There's the ruination of a country. It was all going fine. Yeah, that's what's
And then, and we're getting new floors. We are. That's why I'm sitting on the floor right now. So, sitting on the floor.
Sitting on the floor. Look at Odin chilling back there. Nice.
Dustin, right. You have some exciting news on sports.
Yes.
So, pretty much the only exciting event that's really going on is the NFL draft. So, do you guys know who went first?
Was it Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. And then it was the Redskins, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully we did well.
Then the you got Chase Young from Ohio State. He's pretty good.
Okay.
He's like that. Yeah. He's a really good pass rusher.
All right. Cool.
But first pick was Joe Burrow to the Bengals from LSU.
Is that a good thing?
LSU. Yeah.
I don't know how good the Bengals are going to be with a rookie quarterback, but, I mean, Joe Burrow did pretty good last season.
Okay.
They won the championship.
They won the Stanley Cup?
Yes. The Stanley Cup of college football. And then Gronkowski is joining Tom Brady, coming out of retirement, to join Tom Brady in Tampa.
Yeah, so, you got to love that.
Because I feel like it's like one of those like paying for the championship teams.
Isn't that what everybody tries to do?
Yeah, see, I'm not a big fan. It's like the LeBron effect when he went to Miami and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, not a big fan.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, Al, how's it going in your neighborhood?
Well, speaking of Miami, speaking of neighborhoods and areas, I found an interesting little ditty here. Various countries around the world, they're a lot more strict than we're being here right now. They're making people absolutely stay indoors. Elderly people cannot leave the homes. They can only have someone leave the homes for them to go get food and then get back home kind of thing. So I was reading here where in Spain, people are coming up, you know, you can walk your pet is another reason to go outside, especially if you live in an apartment or whatever. So people are basically, they're walking like toy dogs. There's a picture of a man holding a goldfish bowl, walking his goldfish. That's his pet. I just kind of thought that was kind of cute. You know, it's kind of a little upside of this whole thing. Everybody trapped.
Yeah.
I guess that's really about it. I just kind of wanted to point that out. I mean, I'm sure everybody can fire up Google and they call it about walking unusual pets is the thing.
So you're a Miami fan. How do you feel about Tua going over to Miami?
Yeah, I like it. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. All right.
Tell us how you what you really feel.
What?
I'm just wondering how he's gonna perform after the whole the knee injury?
Yeah.
Or the hip? It might have been the hip. I forget.
He'll be fine. He'll ride a year on a bench and then he'll be fine.
We still got Fitz, though, right?
You got Fitz.
Yeah, there is a lot of time left. That's true.
For all you Gator fans, Percy Harvin is also coming out of retirement, and there's talks about him coming to play with Tom Brady.
Wow! Look at that. That's going to be a 100% win season.
I'd say 17 years later, Tampa's back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Wow. Yeah.
If our offensive line can pick it up and protect him, maybe.
Yeah. What? No. Tom Brady doesn't need a lot. No, he does it all himself. It's not a team.
All him.
Oh no.
About as mobile as a bowl of mud. All right, Caitlin.
All right. So that was our Killing Time segment. Lots of sports finally back in the. In the chat, we are going to be talking about JonBenet Ramsey today. I think we're all bringing our own little theories to the plate, maybe, hopefully. Al,
You guys are going to be the main. I've got a little something to throw in.
All right, cool. So yeah, we're going to be.
Am I the only one who pronounces it John Bennett Ramsey? Is that just me?
Yes. Sorry.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You.
Just checking. So the T's there, so I pronounce it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Knife. Knight. Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl.
So, JonBenet.
Yep, JonBenet. We are, should I go first with my theory?
Well, it's your episode. You do what you want. You're the conductor today.
All right. So, I just want to say that Burke did it. That's where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. And that was a great episode.
Send in your comments.
That's what you think.
Yay.
No, so my obviously we're gonna go through a little bit. So JonBenet Ramsey was JonBenet was born August 6, 1990, and she died December 26, 1996. So she was 6 years old, murdered. Obviously,
murdered.
I think everybody has heard about this case. I'm sure
it was an accidental asphyxiation. And bludgeoning, accidental bludgeoning.
Right, it was all accidental.
A six-year-old committing suicide.
Yeah, no? Definitely. And then she wrote her own ransom note and everything.
Right, of course. Totally makes sense.
I mean,
So my theory is that the family gets home on Christmas. They had been out, you know, dropping gifts off at friends' houses, blah, blah, blah. They get home. JonBenet is supposedly asleep, so her father, John, takes her up to bed, puts her to bed, and then Patsy, her mother, gives Burke, her older brother, who was 9 at the time, a snack. It was like a bowl of pineapple and a glass of tea.
Who's weird. Drinking pineapple and tea?
Or right?
At bedtime? Tea, come on.
Right?
Yeah. And it was like pineapple and milk or something in the bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, so, Patsy and Burke snacking downstairs. John, I guess, goes to bed. He's out, as far as we know. JonBenet is supposedly in bed, but my theory is that she goes downstairs and maybe tries to take some of the pineapple. I mean, she does take pineapple. She does eat pineapple. It was found in her stomach contents later. So, she had pineapple, and then something happened. Someone got pissed off. I think Burke, in a fit of rage, what?
Well, we don't know that something happened right then.
No.
I feel like you got to give us the whole story before you start going into your theories, right?
Well, what's the whole story?
JonBenet supposedly is in bed.
Right.
Sleeping. Everyone's right. Sleeping.
No, because Patsy and Burke are having pineapple and milk and tea.
Oh, and then they go upstairs to tuck JonBenet in, right?
No, John had tucked JonBenet in.
But Patsy discovers the note.
After she wakes up in the morning.
That's what I'm kind of
getting. So should we start that off right there? Like, what starts the whole investigation?
She found the note before they found her body, though, right?
Yes, yeah.
So 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, Patsy finds a note, right?
Yes.
And what does the note say?
The note, so I don't have a copy of it. I should have, but I don't. So
okay, Al.
I know, I totally forgot. I didn't even think to have, you know, the note in front of me. But it's like 3 pages long. It's very rambly and weird. There's a lot of weird things. At first, the supposed kidnapper who's writing the note seems very uneducated, I guess. They are misspelling simple words like business and possession. But then further in the note, they're using words like hence and, I forgot how to pronounce it.
Attaché.
Attaché, that was the one.
Yep.
Which is like, just say bag or briefcase. What's an attaché? Yeah. I had never heard of it before.
But you got to realize, this is an upper class family.
Right, but if they're wanting people to think that an idiot wrote the ransom note, wouldn't they just keep it going and be like, put the money in the bag?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So right. What did the ransom note ask for?
$118,000, which or, if you were a kidnapper, how much money would you ask for from a wealthy family?
Yeah, it would be
nothing less than a million.
Yeah. Right,
nothing exactly. Less than a million.
And then you can go down from there when you call and you're like, where's my money? And they're like, we can't pay that much. And you're like, okay, $75,000.
Yeah.
Or not 75.
Yeah. Why 118? Why not 120?
So 118,000 was the amount of John's annual bonus.
His Christmas bonus, yeah.
From Lockheed Martin, right?
I don't remember where he worked.
I'll think
of
that.
But
yeah,
back on the body of the note, when I was looking at the note, it rang to me like a spy novel, because they were talking about the two gentlemen who don't like you very much, you know, will decapitate your daughter if you call the police, and we know we're watching you, and we know it rang of a spy novel or a police novel, you know, one of those, you know, TV shows where, you know, they have the muffled voice, we have your daughter.
And it's even like small faction, whatever.
Right. It says, we are a small foreign faction.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, come on. What does that mean? You know, so yeah, what is it? Patty Hearst? Back from the dead? I mean,
everybody knows Patty Hearst, right? We all knew Patty Hearst.
Of course.
You're listening. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
And so it's just really weird. They're like, they're watching and listening. Don't call the cops. If we see you as so much as talking to a stray dog, we'll kill the kid, something like that. And it's like, what, just tell them to give you the money and you'll call in a couple hours or something, you know? It's just very weird and elaborate. And
so she finds this note about 5:30 in the morning and calls law enforcement, obviously.
Right, immediately. Calls
Boulder Police Department. They show up.
Right. And the 911 call is so annoying. She's like out of breath and Odin's licking himself. Look at him.
Nice. It's symbolic.
Murder cat. It's a murder cat.
So she's like out of breath on the phone with 911. She apparently didn't read the whole letter. She just kind of skimmed through it.
Would you read the whole letter though? I mean, if it were real, I don't think I'd read the whole letter either.
If it were 3 pages long, no, I probably wouldn't read all of it.
I mean, I don't read contracts that are more than 2 pages. I mean,
right. So she calls 911. She hangs up with 911 and then she calls all of their closest friends and their like pastor or something to come and contaminate the crime scene.
Did she say that?
Yes, come and contaminate the crime scene.
And we've got a crime scene here. No, the cops haven't found the body, but it's in the basement. So come in and trample all over the place.
Yeah. So they, you know, they've got all these people in and out of the house. The cops show up and I don't even know what they're doing. I don't think they knew what they were doing. This is one of those times when the cops do royally mess up a case.
So we all know that Caitlin hates cops.
No.
But every once in a while, she's right that the cops did, let's say, stumble at the beginning of this case. Okay, let's put it nicely for my people. Yes, they did. They did stumble at the beginning of this case. And I think their reason was they said, well, it's a ransom. Why would we shoot? It's a kidnapping and a ransom case. Why would we search the house? Isn't that kind of, I think that's what they ultimately said when they did it. But
didn't John say that they were like already searching the house?
No, because they found her like hours later, right? Wasn't it? It wasn't immediate.
Yeah, but I thought the police had already searched the house.
Well, obviously they didn't search the house.
They didn't search it well.
They didn't search it well is my thing.
Right.
Damn.
And then, never mind.
So, just as a side note, but it's very relevant. Amber Alerts. You know when Amber Alert was established?
When Amber got kidnapped?
Yep. What year?
Something.
1996, same year.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Amber Alert, which Amber actually has a double meaning. It stands for her name, and it also stands for the American Missing Broadcast Emergency Response. Amber. So what happened was that Amber Hagerman, 9 years old, abducted and murdered in Texas. And an Amber Alert is to notify all the surrounding people and areas. We get them every once in a while now on our phones. But one of the main, and they may not have even had Amber Alerts in Boulder at this time because it was the same year. But one of the number one things to do with an Amber Alert is you have to 100% search that house to make sure that they're not there.
Right.
Because sometimes kids hide.
Yeah.
They're not missing. And you're going to put all these resources to an Amber Alert because part of the problem with Amber Alert is you don't want it to be so often that people just they ignore it.
Right.
It has to fit certain parameters. And one of those parameters is you have to complete an exhaustive search of the home. Make sure they're not there. Neighbors in the yard, are they local? So that's one of the things, and that's what cops should have done. Even if they didn't have Amber Alert parameters at that time, they should have searched that house.
Right. Because a 6-year-old could have been just playing around, hiding, it could have just been, I don't know.
Yeah. No, kids, trust me, as a dad, kids fall asleep in weird places. They wake up. Cameron used to get up at night and walk around the house in his onesie and spy on Caitlin. And she told us, somebody's watching me at night. And one night we caught him walking around the house. He was 2, 3, maybe. And yeah. He was scooting around in his little onesie and walking around the house. But they fall asleep all over the place. Yeah. And another thing, they should have searched the house because it was a crime scene.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if it's a ransom, there was a crime at this house,
right.
Hence a crime scene.
Thank you. Crime Someone got abducted.
Yeah. So it was all very.
It's a crime scene. And if you want to, I was taking notes. If it were me, it wasn't, but if it were me, I would have gotten a search warrant and searched the house as it was a crime scene. You could have done it with consent, but what happens, if the parents do end up being suspects, you have expectation of privacy, things like that. Get a search warrant, cover your bases, search the house top to bottom, in and out, and
right.
they stumbled on that and didn't do it.
And it's not like time was really of the essence. Not that they had known, but she was already dead. But
right,
I don't know.
Yeah,
they could have taken the time to get a search warrant, and
Yeah, in a case like this, it's not a difficult search warrant to get. A judge is going to see that you need a search warrant. You could have done it. I'm sure the parents would have signed off a consent form, and that could have worked fine. And even if you don't have a search warrant or consent, you have an emergency.
Right.
You have a child that's missing. You could do it under exigent circumstances. So you have three legal ways you could have searched that house, and they didn't.
Right.
So. That's my take on the cops' stumble.
And they also, I don't know what their procedure is when they show up to a house where a child has supposedly been kidnapped and the whole fucking neighborhood's there.
You get everybody out of the house.
Right.
You don't allow that because you're going to contaminate the scene. That's like what drives me. One of the things that drives me crazy, you see these crime scenes where you got 50 cops and 200 crime scene investigators. They're all dropping hair. They're dropping skin. They're dropping fiber. Edmund Locard's exchange principle says that there's no way you can enter or leave a scene without leaving or taking something with you. And when you multiply that by 5, 10, 15 people, people are dropping shit all over the place. And that's not a good practice. You have to control that scene.
Like at Bob Crane's murder investigation.
Right. Right.
Good plug there, Al.
So,
Caitlin, did they say how many actual people, non-law enforcement, were there?
I didn't find a definitive number, but it sounded like there were at least two couple friends, and the pastor, I think, was called, and I'm not sure how many other people were there. So there were at least four or five extra.
So five people. To 10 people. You got the cops there. You got the family there. You get everybody the hell out, and right. You work it like a crime scene.
Yeah, which was not done.
What? Wasn't.
So they, but they did eventually search the house, however many hours later, and go ahead.
So from what I understand, it was from within 8 hours of finding the note.
Right. That they finally decided to search the house.
Right.
And it kind of seemed like they searched, the whole house almost, except for like the cellar and the basement. And it seemed almost like John, the dad, was like, you know what? Fuck it. No one's opening this door. He's like, oh, this door, what's behind here? And he's like, a body.
Oh, a gasp. And then what kind of cop in his right mind lets let's one of the suspects search the house?
Right. Not only search the house, but then John proceeds to move the body. He picks her up and carries her upstairs.
Hey, did you guys miss something when you did the search?
Yeah. And then
that's the kind of stuff you want to say. I mean, it's like, hey, yeah. I found something. Is this important?
Is this what we're looking for? He brings her upstairs, and Patsy throws herself on the child, like, oh my god, blah blah blah. So another
which is a
fibers and evidence.
Oh yeah.
So
and then she moved again after that too.
It's just my favorite. Like, oh, no one's looked in here, I'll go look. Oh, we found her.
Yeah, the one
experts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. That's no bueno. You know the O.J. Simpson case. They found hair. They found O.J.'s hair on Nicole Simpson, but the defense attorney was able to shed doubt on that because law enforcement grabbed a blanket from inside the house and put it on the body, and they were able to say, "Well, he lived in the house, right? Yes." So couldn't his hairs have been on that blanket that transferred onto the body? And they couldn't say no.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, very careful. You got to get everybody out of that house. You can't let anybody contaminate the scene. You can't let anybody grab onto the scene. Mm-hmm. You know?
Argus.
He's taking over.
Argus, what's your theory?
He just
Burke
did it.
Caitlin, dog whisperer.
So they find the body. I think he's telling me he wants to go outside. But they find the body and...
Oh, shit. She wasn't kidnapped after all.
Right. So she wasn't kidnapped. And so now they've got a dead body on their hand. They're just bypassing all the whole kidnap thing and dead body.
When I was looking at this case, I thought of the Lindbergh case.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see some comparisons drawn from that one too, but I didn't really do much research into that.
So Lindbergh, Huffman made a homemade ladder and he climbed up on the second or third story, and while he was carrying the baby out, dropped the baby. And
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
Wow.
I think it's
wow. Caitlin dropped a baby from the second floor.
I was laughing at Argus.
Yeah, Argus said something funny.
And so yeah, the Lindbergh child died right there when he dropped him.
Oh, so, damn.
Wow, this is weird talking about dead babies. I'm sorry.
for Argus? Can we have a pee break too?
Yes. What?
I guess we're just going to go. Everyone's going to step away.
Sure.
Yep. Except for Odin. Odin's going to be the entertainment. Oh, good.
Right. How about we?
Like now your moment of zen for those in the audience, Odin.
You could put the Murder Hour podcast thing on there, right?
Didn't discuss it, but good call.
I don't know.
Nope.
Nobody. There goes Caitlin.
Caitlin, go. Just go.
Okay, come on, Argus.
And then we're just going to chit chat.
So what about that Caitlin, huh?
Yeah, that Caitlin.
Still in here.
Dude, I thought I was still here.
Yeah, I thought Alan wasn't prepared, but damn.
Right?
Wow.
It's no Rasputin, is it, Al?
Oh, man.
I thought we were going to give the whole case.
No, we're still on. Hey, everybody. Life. We're taking a pee break, so this is pee banter.
Oh, yeah. We're still alive. We're soon.
Yeah, we are still live.
You're right. So
we're all taking our time. We're not all leaving at once.
Well, there goes Al. So are you next?
Whatever. I don't care. I tell you what. If Al gets back, I'll go. If Caitlin gets back, you go.
All right. I like that.
So I hope I'm hoping you're liking the episode, Caitlin. Wow, you pee quick. What, did you have a jar? Well, you got mason jars sitting around.
I was just bringing some stuff in. I'm gonna wait until the right stuff in, huh? Yeah. Well, at my age.
Is anybody monitoring? Are we getting any messages, Al?
Yes. I got it pulled up.
Oh, okay.
So CJ said that these are tricky words, but I think he was referring to the suitcase.
Attaché.
Attaché, yeah, that's a tricky word.
He said it was a tricky word. Barb said hi, and she loves Caitlin's shirt.
Oh, thanks.
Shocker.
Right.
Jody says hello, and some guy named Alan Paolo-y says hi.
Hello. Hi, Amy. Amy's watching. Hi, Amy.
Amy.
I can't see who's watching. I can only see when people comment.
All
right. So Caitlin and Al get to banter.
Yep. So you guys talk. You guys talk to the people, to the awesome audience fans, while we go check our equipment.
Right. Do some sound checks.
Yeah.
Dustin's going to go and talk to Walter. Remember that was our question when we were doing trivia last week. What did Stanley have a mustache or not?
Oh yeah.
So he's gonna go talk to Stanley back there. I see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great background.
I know. I love it. It's really good.
The and I really didn't have a whole lot as far as, but I noticed there were there was like the family member theory of Jaminet, and then there was the intruder theory. And I don't know. I thought maybe I'll bring up the intruder thing, and then you and Camille can kind of, you know, harass me a little, and maybe, I don't know. What do you think? Is that kind of a...
Yeah, no, that's good. I like it.
I was thinking about the uncle, but the uncle really, he was really defensive of them, and he was really, I remember at the time, he was really just like, leave him alone. Enough of this. Stop.
Really?
Like, did the uncle know something? And that's why he was being... Because he was like, you've been bugging him for 3 years. Enough of this already. You need to stop.
Oh, maybe.
But I really can't find a whole lot about the uncle, so.
Yeah.
I could say that, but then I really have nothing to back up, so I don't.
I don't remember seeing anything about an uncle. Well, maybe. I don't know. There were so many theories, but I think the intruder one is good because none of us are.
Okay, maybe balance it out. Okay. And then Camille can attack me and whatever, and I guess she'd be
saying, right.
Oh, hi, Camille.
Hey, you know. You got one good episode in Bob Crane, and you're all, highfalutin.
And I wonder. No, I don't think so. I've seen pictures. I think Rasputin was larger than Bob Crane.
You think that's the trick?
I think he was bigger. I mean, the pictures I saw, I mean, yeah, for what that's worth. Anybody listening, you know, if you want to look up Rasputin episode, awesome episode. Great.
Yeah. It's all right. I mean, it's
Camille got some good one-liners in. He, a little chauvinist here and there, but it's funny. What? It's
What? Me? What? Wah.
All right.
Is it beer time? I love beer.
All right,
time.
Are we back from our break?
Break.
I think we're back from our break. So that brings us into Al's beer moment.
Al's beer moment! Hey.
Now, I will confess up front.
Not to be confused with Al's sexy moments.
Yes, sexy time.
Sexy seconds with Al.
Sexy seconds with Al.
Why are you nodding? You're not supposed to nod. Oh, my goodness. I do have to confess up front. I got all these beers when I was in, as I've said before, touring North Carolina. I stopped in Asheville, and I stopped in Blowing Rock, and what we're going to be drinking tonight is a Kolsch beer. Oh my God, it was so good. I had to drink one in the motel room. It was a four pack. Gary Camille is holding it up now. It was a four pack. I had one in the hotel room the night we were. And it's so good. So I cannot personally enjoy it tonight on the podcast, but I can watch them enjoy it. So for what that's worth. Right. But it is a Kolsch from Blowing Rock, North Carolina, brewed right there, Kolsch style ale.
So you couldn't. And, so you couldn't wait. So is that like a BE?
Yeah.
Not PE.
Yeah.
But ED or PE, but a BE. Beer. Yeah. Premature beer. Wait. PB.
Premature BI. Premature ingestion. But yes, Dustin.
All right. Uno. Dos.
Let's imbibe.
Hell yeah. So Al, what is a Kolsch?
Now I should have remembered this from our previous Kolsches. Dustin was lightning fast looking it up. And
5.5. Hell yeah.
The Kolsch, it's obviously German.
There you go.
It originated in Cologne, Germany. And Kolsch beer is generally kind of bitter, 100% malt, very heavy on the malt.
Yeah, it's very malty.
Yeah. Very, but it's lagered, it's very crisp.
Hey, can anybody tell me what the two dots are called? What is that called? Is that, it's not an umlaut? What is that? It's not a,
that's a schoen?
That's an emoji.
It's an emoji.
Yeah. Is it schoen? S-C-H-O-schoen?
I don't know. Sorry.
But anyway, it's very popular in German. It's a summer type of beer, very popular in Germany. Obviously here people can make it. And anyway, that's what I brought.
So heavy malty. We've made malty, beers.
Yeah. That's not as bad as the one batch we did, but it's
oh, why did that turn out bad?
Hmm? I put too much malt in it. It was my fault. Mm. But anyway, yeah, that I think it's very crisp, very good beer. I very light. Anyway, start it off.
Umlaut.
Umlaut. I said that earlier. Umlaut. But I thought that umlaut was the long.
Umlaut.
Umlaut. Yeah. Umlaut.
Right. I think it's delicious. I love it. It's crisp. It's flavorful. It's not like gross or anything. Which,
well, that's good. It's not gross. Gross.
Like garbage can water.
No hops, no sour, right. No tart, nothing fancy, just a good beer.
Yeah, it is good.
What's your number, Caitlin?
Maybe a 7.5.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Pretty good.
Al, who you want to go next?
Let's hear from Dustin. Break up the order a bit. Yeah.
So, I like this beer. It's pretty simplistic at the end of the day, you know. This is like drinking this. This is what I think of drinking a beer is, you know, you get a little bit of the hops, you get a little bit of the maltiness. It just tastes like a really good beer. I'm going to go ahead and give it an 8.
Ooh,
nice.
Nice.
Eight.
Hey, should you be drinking beer in the office?
Probably not, but it's one of those days.
So who doesn't, I mean, who would not love to work in an office of madmen, right? the bar right there, right? Hey, how about a scotch? It's noon. Okay, how about two scotches?
Yeah. A closet full of Lucky Strike cigarettes. You
know? All right. So, Blowing Rock, Kolsch. I like it, but I don't like it enough to drink a lot. It's not an all night drink beer. I can have one or two. Yeah, two. I'm thinking. You know what surprised me is I'm enjoying the malt, and I thought there would be an aftertaste, but there's not. So it's good. I like it. I'm going to give it a 6. I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, Al, let's hear your review.
Yeah.
Well, how does it taste, Al?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, I'm sipping it right now, and it tickles your nose. No,
it's hard it's hard to fake when we're on Facebook Live, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh God. All right. It's actually it's a little bit hoppy. It's a little bit malty for me, but yeah, I could do a couple of them. It's still
you're not a big malty guy.
No, it's still very light though. It's light. It's not a heavy. The one we got from Tallahassee the other week, that was a real heavier beer, which I thought this Kolsch would be, but it's not. It's light. It's I want to say kind of like not like your typical kind of a slightly weedy taste.
Yeah, it's a heavy wheat.
If I recall correctly, yeah, mm-hmm. But not hoppy at all. Not a lot of hoppy. I don't know.
I like it.
I can do a couple of them. I mean, personally, yeah. I give it an 8, personally, was my opinion.
Okay.
So before we wrap up the beer moment, Barb says Everett would like to join the podcast as a guest so he can come drink beer with us. I think we can make that happen.
And we should have Everett should bring the beer for that cast.
He has to deliver it though, like you do. So is he going to go that far?
He is quite good with the beers. He has introduced us to many a good beer over the years. Yeah.
And he loves a Belgian double and a triple. And that's my jams right there.
He drinks the hard stuff, man. Yeah, he's an animal.
I love a good double and a triple. So
cool. Definitely, yes.
Cool.
Thumbs up for me. For Everett. All right, Everett. Hey.
As long as he brings the beer. Yep. I don't care who comes.
Because exactly. I'm out. Beer. Yeah, that's it for me. That's all the beer I bought. I have a bottle of beer. See, this means a bottle. I'm waiting on that till after we're all released from our imprisonment. And then when we're all back together again, we're all going to try it. You know, back.
Nice.
Cool. So that'll be chilled. It'll age. I think that'll be nice.
So are we doing Everett's beer moment next week? Or should this be planned out?
I think we should plan it.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm asking Barb now.
Okay. So Barb said he's probably going to bring a quad.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, bitches.
Is it gonna we can chase it with Busch Light.
You know how he's
oh, water.
Ding dong ditch. He's going to do ding dong ditch drop.
Sweet.
Ding dong ditch drop. Nice.
Very nice.
So, Caitlin, how can everybody get a hold of us?
Autocorrect. Right. Oh, sorry.
So, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Facebook, which, if you're here, you have. On Instagram, at MurderHourPod. Via email, MurderHourPod@gmail.com. And I think that's it.
Oh, Al, you didn't promote yourself.
Oh, that's right. Again, as always, I am Al the Beers Guy. There. Thanks.
on Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. On Instagram, at Al the Beers Guy.
Cool.
Altheberstgui, yeah. At Al the Beers Guy.
That's how the cool kids say.
I also try to promote Murder Hour, and when I do my little thing, you know, at Murder Hour Pod, also on Instagram. And please listen. It's great. All you guys out there with your wonderful pictures. I like looking at them. Very creative.
Yeah, and we definitely appreciate everybody who listens. I mean, we've got, you know, we every week people are listening to our podcast, even though we're on Zoom. So I want to thank everybody for listening. It's awesome.
Cool. So we are, that was Al's beer moment. And I think we're going right back into the case about JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, we left off where John brought out his daughter saying, hey, is this what you guys are looking for?
Right. Is this the missing child? So he brings her upstairs and lays her down, and, you know, Patsy's, you know, frantic, oh my God. And then I think an investigator or someone moves her body again and then covers her with a sheet or a blanket. Is that how it went?
No, I'm shaking my head as to they shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And yeah. I talked about the OJ case, and my students are sick and tired. All year long, I was telling them about do not cover the body, do not cover the body, do not. And I would show a picture. What's wrong with this picture? They covered a body, Mr. Long. Don't cover the body. Just right. Leave it as is.
Yes.
You know, oh God, this angers me, enrages Ooh. Me. Sorry, upsets me. About how how in the world the dad found the victim.
Yeah.
And not the cops. Yeah. And allowed to carry away. It's really, really bad. It's you know, the problem is it's embarrassing.
Casey Anthony.
I mean, the cops didn't botch that one.
Yeah, they didn't find the body until
the court system botched it.
Yeah, that's a court thing. Yeah, Al, that's a court case, not the cops. Cops did their thing. Wow. Cops did. Wow.
I'm not getting enough attention, man. I'm sorry. I'm not getting enough attention.
So he brings the body up and lays her down, blah, blah, blah. She's covered by a sheet. And then it's just kind of like awkward. You know, they don't really. You know, the medical examiner comes and does, you know, an examination, and she's got nylon.
Yeah, it's a cord. It's a cord around her neck.
Right. An investigator referred to it as a garrote, which
a garrote.
A garrote.
Right. Garroted.
Yeah. And that's like when you wrap it around, you know, from Al's spy days when he would sneak up behind somebody and, you know.
Garrote right. Wire, dental floss.
Yeah.
Garrote wire. So,
but I don't think that's a garrote. I mean, I don't.
So it was fashioned out of nylon and a broken paintbrush handle it was Patsy's paintbrush, and Patsy had purchased the nylon, I think that month. But so she had the nylon garrote around her neck. She had her hands bound and.
Duct tape over her mouth?
Right, duct tape. Which I think they removed, like the parents removed the duct tape, right?
I don't remember that part, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I believe it.
So now the thing around her neck, it was, I don't know how to describe it, but if you look up a Boy Scout, I've got it right here. A Boy Scout toggle knot.
Okay.
It looks exactly like that.
Huh.
Which leads me into why I think Burke did it.
But ooh, in Cub Scouts, they don't really – he wasn't a Boy Scout yet. If he was a Scout, he was in Cub Scouts, not a Boy Scout yet.
They still know knots. They still know knots.
Not really. Not
also,
really.
Don't rich families have boats and stuff? So what? They've got like knots. Don't rich people have boats and they're all with their knots?
Did they have a boat? and that boat, is that a boat knot? Boat knots. He did it.
Yeah.
Everybody running around with boat shoes, deck shoes, or whatever the hell they're called.
Yes. Like the sweater around their necks and everything.
Buffet.
Yes. Great Poupon.
So they,
back on the knot thing, there's actually a science to knots because, we were always taught, never cut just cut it, you know, like if you have somebody who's hanged or garroted or strangled with a rope, you never cut there or you never undo it because you can look at it and determine what kind of knot and then maybe narrow it down. Like you were saying, is it for, you know, specifically for sailors or, you know, construction or Boy Scouts or things like that. There's a knot science about it.
Give them a lead, maybe somewhere to start to look for
right, exactly.
Where it was bought or.
Yeah. Okay. So she was strangled, but she was also hit in the head with a blunt object.
Bludgeoned.
Right. It was it sounds like it was just one hit in the head, like one little knock. Not a knock, not one little knock. I mean, it was enough to render her unconscious, I think. And then whoever did it finished the job with the nylon.
Yeah, didn't they, from my research, didn't they take the paintbrush, put it in, and you know how you can tighten it?
Yeah, it was by twisting it, looked like it? Like that.
Yeah.
With, wow. If you think about it, what adult is going to need assistance strangling a six-year-old?
Hmm. Well, if you're gonna blame your son for doing it.
Well, that's the thing. That's where it comes in. I think Patsy wrote the ransom note to help cover for Burke.
Hmm. Interesting.
And it's a whole long thing.
So
that's what she said.
They bring in a medical examiner there. Eventually they're gonna take a lot of pictures, they're gonna take the victim to the Emmy's office and conduct an autopsy. You said its stomach contents had what?
Pineapple.
Okay. Which was in the house. That's not a big deal. No sign of
That was the snack that evening? Was the pineapple tea or whatever?
Right,
or
that's what
yeah, the pineapple tea.
Patsy, yeah.
Sorry. I thought we were talking about pineapple tea or something. I'm sorry.
I think we should get into everybody's theories.
Well, should we talk about the prime suspects and before we go into everybody's theories?
We got 10 minutes left. That's fine.
Oh, wow.
Of the whole episode?
I mean, of recording an hour.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's move on.
It's up to y'all if you want to keep going.
So, originally, the prime suspects obviously are going to be John, Patsy, and Burke, right? They found DNA on her pajamas and her underwear, but it wasn't semen. It was just DNA from something, right?
Right.
Okay.
It matched the profile of like an average white male.
Right.
DNA.
but they kind of it. Were you going to cover the indictment in 1999?
No.
Okay. So, in 1999, the parents were actually indicted by a grand jury for child abuse resulting in death. But the prosecutor didn't think the case was strong enough, so they actually didn't pursue the indictment. He didn't sign off on the indictment. And then there were three main suspects. Were you going to cover them?
Nope. I was just covering Burke.
These guys are really, really creepy. Bill McReynolds, who played Santa quite often. Yeah. His daughter was kidnapped years before. His wife actually wrote a play about a kidnapping and a murder, and the body of the murder suspect was found in a basement.
Ah!
Right? JonBenet gave this guy a thing of glitter. You know, and he was like, oh, I'm Santa. I always play Santa. I always give gifts, but I got a gift, so I appreciated it. But it got a little creepy because he said, well, if I die... Well, he went and had a surgery, and he brought the glitter with him into surgery for good luck, I guess.
Okay.
And then he told his wife that if he died, he wanted his ashes mixed with the glitter from JonBenet. So, yeah, there's that guy.
So that's weird, right?
Yes. Everybody thumbs up on that's weird, right? Okay. And then there was Gary Oliva.
Oliva?
Yeah. Okay. Arrested for child pornography. When he was arrested, he had a photo of JonBenet in his pocket. Creepy, right? Another thumbs up for creepy.
Creepy. Right?
He said that he just could understand the case and how the family, blah, blah, blah. He also called a friend of his and said, I hurt a little girl in Boulder. And the friend goes, okay, thanks. Now, there's a... Because I work child pornography cases, and they're the worst, absolute worst. But there's something that's, and I don't want to, we're talking about child murder, so I'm going to talk about something. There's called what's called child erotica, that the people who enjoy or who like child pornography, they will possess child erotica because it's not illegal. It might be just a photograph of a child. It might be a photograph. You know how you have like photographs of kids running naked on the beach. That's not child pornography.
I don't have any of those pictures, but I
I don't.
What's that? What? But
what,
you know,
what did creepy Uncle Al almost say?
No, I'm saying I got none of that. Nothing to add here. Oops.
So a lot of these child pornographers will hold this child erotica, and it will help their fantasy world because they go to prison for a very, very long time if they're caught with child pornography. So there is that child. I remember getting called out to traffic stops. Oh my God, this guy has all these pictures of kids. But it wasn't, it didn't fit into the class of child pornography. It was more of like, you know, little kid ads and newspapers or magazines, things like that, that, you know, wasn't officially pornography. And another guy, John Mark Carr, 2006, apparently he confessed through an email to a professor that he had killed JonBenet Ramsey, bludgeoned her, strangled her, all that kind of stuff. But the investigator realized that that wasn't his. And he had fled the country for child pornography, which I don't want to piss people off, but I'm going to. Unfortunately, I think that part of, and it's not the, I'm not victim shaming, okay? But part of the child pageant industry has a very negative effect of drawing these guys to this.
Right.
You're going to have, I mean, hey, you do your child pageants, whatever you want to do that, but understand that there is a part of society that sees these children not as cute little girls, hey, look, but as sex objects. And
right.
And unfortunately that comes with that part of it. And
yeah.
And she was she won a lot of things, right?
Yeah, she was like a very well-known pageant child. And that was actually, Barbara Walters actually brought that up to Patsy, you know, that some people say, oh, you know, because of the pageants that you're subjecting your child to be thought of as in that light. And Patsy said, well, any sexual thoughts like that are coming from the viewer and not the children, obviously.
Right. Right. It's not intended that way, but unfortunately there are sick people in the world who see it that way.
Right. If you can take a picture of a child from a magazine and think of it sexually, you're obviously disgusting and can, you know, got weird fantasies. Don't like it.
Right.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean.
Go ahead and kill yourself. Sorry. Okay.
So, did you read about Dr. Henry Lee thing about the DNA?
Actually, I had it up here.
Okay, awesome, Al. Tell us about it.
Well, but it's okay.
Al did some research.
I was talking to Kaylin. I was talking to Kaylin, and I was like, you know, maybe we could talk about the intruder theory, but you've actually dabbled into that a lot, which is fine. That's great.
No, wait, hold on a second. Part of that was there was no sign of forced entry, no outside shoe prints in the snow.
Yep.
You know, so there's not a whole lot of sign for intruder.
Yeah, it was funny. They had brought up the Santa Claus guy. Actually, both the men you had talked about, the one they found in Singapore, They had mentioned him, but, you know, they found out that it was all just conjecture. And of course, now that I mention this, John Mark Carr, who you're talking about, in Bangkok, I'm sorry, not Singapore, he was in Bangkok.
I was going to let you say Bangkok.
Yeah, that's Bangkok, Thailand. a man named Mike Hunt was the man that called in the crew. And I'm stalling because I have completely lost where I had the place here. So if Camille would like to move forward with that, and I've totally lost where I was. So
Dr. Henry Lee was brought onto the case, and they were talking about the DNA on the underwear. And he speculated that the DNA was maybe not left by the by the suspect, but was left by Eben. was not left by the suspect, but left there during the manufacturing process.
Right. And I did see something about that.
Yeah. So what he did is he found some packets of girls' underwear and unopened in a sealed package and tested them and found DNA.
Hmm.
So yeah, all the DNA exonerations maybe not doesn't have as hold as much water as we originally thought.
So someone from the Facebook Live asks, wasn't there a broken basement window? Or something.
Caitlin? Ooh, that's a good question. Caitlin, it's your episode.
And I think John admitted that he might have been the one to break it, if I recall correctly. It wasn't broken from the outside, I don't think.
John said he broke that, he thought, a while back.
Right.
And they just hadn't got to fix it. Got around to fixing it.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you. That's like our first feedback. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
thank awesome. You.
Hello, yes.
Jody thinks that it was not any signs of B&E.
Right. It was no sign of entry.
Right. Yeah.
So, Caitlin, you think it's Burke. Tell us why.
So, Burke, it was a little hard to find this information, so I don't know. I think it's credible, but Burke had a history of spreading feces, like in the bathroom, and leaving feces in JonBenet's bedroom. And it might have been, he also hit her in the head with a golf club when he was 7, which they say was an accident, but I mean, was it?
I remember you knocking out your brother, 2 of your brother's teeth when you guys were young. So
no, I think it was the other way around.
Did they knock your teeth out?
Yeah, they knocked my teeth out.
Oh, okay. Okay, so.
No, I didn't know such thing.
DJ, if you're listening still, good job.
So, yes, Caitlin has a full partial, yes.
Right.
Coming for you, CJ.
So he was, I don't know, not...
Right?
Right. I mean, I don't know. Burke seemed a little off in a lot of ways. It's like you can't really read the room kind of thing. But then also, I mean, he was known to have a temper as well. So I think maybe in a fit of rage, he hit JonBenet with maybe the big ass flashlight they found, knocked her out, and then strangled her with the, you know, nylon and stuff. And then Patsy, oh my God, panicked, wrote the note, staged it to make it look like, you know, someone else had done it, someone that wasn't in the house, maybe. Oh. And as far as like the sexual assault goes, no one's to say that, you know, a 9-year-old couldn't be continuously sexually assaulting their sibling for years.
But was there sexual assault in her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
Yeah, there's been, I did a lot of research.
That goes to more of my theory, but that's fine.
Right. Yeah. I learned a lot about 6-year-old anatomy. I would take it back if I could. So she actually went to the doctor 27 times in 3 years. And a lot of it was for like UTIs and infections involving her nether regions, which could coincide with her bedwetting. There was a lot of bedwetting, which could also lead to, you know, sexual assault. That's often a sign of other issues going on.
I appreciate you supporting my theory, Caitlin.
Wow.
That doesn't rule out Burke.
But I appreciate you. Who wants to go next?
I'm done.
All right, so I'll go with mine. So I think Patsy did it partially because she was a pageant person when she was young. Her daughter's now a pageant person. Patty was not getting the attention that she did back then. It transforms into Munchausen by proxy, which
fancy terms.
Munchausen by proxy is where you abuse your child, and then you are the rescuing person. You're getting accolades from police and medical, and like, oh my God, you saved your daughter. The UTIs. Now, unfortunately, it's not just Patsy. I think that I think the daughter was being abused by the husband, and Patsy took care of. Can't take care of her meal ticket. Can't kill your husband, so you kill your child, and she wrote the note, and that's my theory.
Ooh.
So your theory actually holds a lot for me, especially because JonBenet won a bunch of actual titles, and I'm not sure if Patsy actually won that many.
Patsy was Miss. Ohio. Oh, shit, I should have written it down. But she won, like, a Miss whatever state she was in at the time in, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
It was, like, Miss Ohio or something.
Yeah. Was JonBenet national? Was she, like, national level yet or no?
She won America's Royal Miss. I don't know what that really is.
Whatever that means.
So she had overachieved her mom.
So, Dustin, while your mom was mine. While you're talking about your theory, you want to mention your you're going to see what everybody else thinks, all our audience. Like, I was going to say, do you want to mention your poll? But
so, we're not going to mention the poll because apparently that's the thing you got to do before.
But people can tell us what their theory is.
I already asked.
Oh, okay. Oh,
but hey, people are listening now. So, who do you think killed JonBenet Ramsey?
Yeah.
Al, you're next.
Here we go.
I thought Al said intruder.
Yeah, I kind of lean toward the intruder thing. The Santa Claus thing freaks me out. The guy was actually a family member.
Are you saying John Carpenter did this?
Yeah, the John Carpenter theory again. Yes, that Bill McReynolds, the Santa Claus guy.
You're going with Bill McReynolds.
Yeah.
Okay. I could bite that theory a little bit.
But again, I kind of wonder why would they want to cover it up. But I don't know. Did he owe the money? Was there a sex triangle thing going on? Was there money involved? I don't know. Were they really weird and they invited him over? And I don't know. I don't want to get too sick on the detail. But you never know. Everyone's a suspect. I mean,
it could be Bill McReynolds and his wife. Maybe the wife wrote the note. Oh, okay. And another thing about Ramsey. Ramsey was not exonerated on writing the note. It was inconclusive.
I don't know how it was inconclusive because that was definitely her handwriting.
Yeah. She wrote the note. Another thing. Yeah. Thank you.
After seeing it compared, nuts.
But I think she wrote it to help cover up for her son. She's already lost one child, and now if it turns out that Burke did kill JonBenet and the cops find out she's going to lose her second child. Well, I mean, technically her first child, but she already, anyway. She stood the chance of losing both children in the same night. I think she really went above and beyond to try to make sure that that didn't happen.
So we have the kid did it. We have an intruder did it. And Bill McReynolds also did it. So we literally have everything you guys have discussed.
Which one are you thinking, Dustin? Mom?
I think it was the mom that put the nail in the coffin, but I definitely think that Burke, like, hit her, knocked her out, and then the mom thought she was dead or something, and I think it got really strange, and I think the mom was the one that actually, like, strangled her. But I think it was a compound effort of the mom and Burke.
Okay. I think it's just mom, but that's all right. So what you said your comments are that everybody's agreeing with all of us?
Barb votes for Caitlin. Jody votes for Bill McReynolds and his wife. And then we have Becky, who votes for Al as an intruder.
Whoa, Al the intruder did it.
Well done.
Wait, you had two theories, Al. That's not cool.
What's really funny is no one thinks it was the dad.
Yeah.
I think that's too obvious.
I mean, there is the thought that maybe he was in the middle of assaulting JonBenet and the mom walks in and intending to hit John ends up hitting JonBenet and then decides to cover it up for some reason, because I mean he makes all the money and now they've got two very huge secrets, you know, the kid's dead and he's been assaulting her for however many years.
Oh, I totally think that that's the case, but I think that mom just totally did it without him. I mean, if my theory is correct, then he's a monster anyway for, you know, but.
Right. Yeah. Now, because I forgot that he had a couple other kids before, and none of them have really spoken out about, you know, any abuse. Does that, because I know if one kid's being abused, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all being abused.
Yeah, you could get a total 180 degree difference on.
Especially because it's JonBenet.
Bennett.
I mean, it's, well, his name is JonBenet Ramsey.
His name is John Bennett.
What?
John Bennett.
Whatever. Ketchup, catsup, whatever, dude.
Oh, it's totally different. And her name was JonBenet Patricia, so she was named after both parents. It's not like it was just John.
Whatever.
That's not a little narcissistic, is it?
And
Burke's like, yeah, who am I named after? The mailman?
Right? That was my first question to Caitlin.
Maybe that's why Burke was so angry, and that's why he had to kill her.
That's why, because he wasn't named after anybody in the family. He was named after the mailman. He found out.
He's like killing her. He's like, who the fuck is Burke? And then that's it.
That and his mom keeps giving him pineapple milk and tea.
pineapple milk tea. Rich people. Who understands them?
With their boats and their pineapple milk and
and their crazy nuts.
Yeah.
Their Sperry's.
And their $118,000 even.
Yeah.
Oh, a Christmas bonus. Here's a Christmas bonus. Like, what?
Right. Here's a Christmas bonus that can buy a whole house for somebody.
Right.
I thought you were going to do the New York accent there for a second. Hey, it's a Christmas bonus. I don't know.
Do it.
So nobody agreed with me, Dustin?
No one agreed that it was the wife.
Oh, I'm sad.
Jody Long comments, how can a poor six-year-old have a grown man in love with her? Yeah. How can grown men be in love with her?
Because they're sick and they need to be
not rehabilitated.
No. There is no rehabilitation for those people. Unfortunately, they are.
Much. Too far gone.
The wiring is different.
Yeah.
They're different.
They're fellas.
Yeah, those really were the worst cases I ever worked was child pornography cases, and they just needed to be put in the ground.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So. I think we're all in agreement to disagree.
We're all in agreement that the mom did it. Yay!
I know I've heard mothers through my life, I've heard mothers say, I would do literally anything to protect my child. I've heard multiple mothers say, I don't care. I'd go to jail. I'd kill people. I'd do whatever I could to protect my daughter, my son. You wouldn't understand if you don't have children, that kind of thing. It's possible.
This coming from the guy who's never heard of Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
That's why I think it was like a combination effort.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes you wonder, like, would a mother go through the extent of covering up the murder of one child to protect the other child?
Yes. Now, Al. Wait, Al had two theories. I have a second theory.
Okay.
I think it's...
I just had a subset of a main theory. But
I think that McReynolds and Burke did it together.
Okay. Really? The kid.
But not
the kid
McReynolds
and
wife.
Santa.
Not McReynolds' wife. So he shows up as Santa. Him and Burke are like, yo, fist bump.
Yep, absolutely.
Santa's like, hey, we're going to take out your sister right now.
Well, okay, so it's Christmas. Horrible. He sneaks in. He's dressed as Santa, obviously. Hence the, because there was some unidentified shoes, Santa boots, obviously. You know, JonBenet did not leave out cookies.
Now we have an enraged Santa.
Right. Hey, Santa, my only wish for Christmas is you to kill my sister.
And he's like, wish granted, kid.
Done.
Ooh. Well, Burke didn't leave cookies out either.
What's wrong with these people?
They left old pineapple in milk.
Old pineapple milk tea.
I bet they didn't leave out reindeer food either.
Right.
No carrots? Nothing. We always left out carrots and cookies.
Yes.
So, should we land this pig?
I think we should. So, if you're still with us, this has been another wonderful episode of, Murder Hour Podcast. We appreciate you sticking
with us. We really
do. Yes, if you're still with us. If you want to reach us, you find us on Facebook, obviously, Murder Hour Podcast, Instagram at Murder Hour Pod, or email us. murderhourpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And make sure and send us your platypus.
Right.
Yes.
Send us your pets.
Still waiting for the platypi.
Platypi. Just a picture of it. Don't send the animal.
Send us your platypus.
What a word. Platypus.
Platypus. Platypus.
And remember that everyone is a suspect. Even Santa, your brother, your dad, your mom. The neighbor,
weird uncle, yeah, uncle.
Right?